Hands before church. I know that we've done that skit quite a few times. I did pimp it a little bit for this morning, but isn't it amazing? You can't make this stuff up. Okay, I'm going to let Chris come and pray for me in a minute. But you can't make this stuff up. We're not that organized a church. Okay, the worship songs. We're not that organized to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to be speaking about today, guys. Can you just think about this? And, you know, we're not that organized. We're not that organized as a church, I don't think, to be looking at the program and, oh, Adam's speaking on this. That means my prayer is going to go along that. No, we're not that organized. The Holy Spirit is obviously at work this morning, and he's going in a direction and he's leading us. And so, like, as we finish that kind of moment of worship, we're still there. Okay, I know we've had a funny skit, but did you see how the worship was speaking into the skit? Okay, amen. Chris, please pray for me.
Just lift Adam up to you. And just pray for him before now. And Lord, we just ask you to take the wheel.
Amen.
As he speaks, Lord, and pray your words will come through him, Lord, and just reach everyone how you need it to be reached. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Literally, like, Shin was like, take the wheel. And I'm like, oh, amen, bruh. Yeah, well, today we're going to be talking about what you can see on the screen, the Lordship of Christ. And this is one of the MLG values. And so if you don't really know the network that we are kind of associated to, this is why we're doing this series. We're trying to give you an understanding of what the network values. And not just the network. The reason why you kind of belong to networks is because you say, yeah, they're our values as well. And so as a church, we kind of say, yeah, the Lordship of Christ, we value that. And I really hope that every single one of us who is a follower of Christ this morning also says, yeah, I also really value that. Amen? Amen? Well, what I really like about the skit that we've just done now, is skit an English word? Is that an American? What is that? Drama? Shall I use the word drama? Skit? Oh, wow. We're divided. Okay. Skit or drama, okay, you know what I'm talking about, what we just did there. What I like about it is how it shows us the reality. Because when we get up and speak, we have to be speaking about real stuff, yeah? And this skit shows us the realness, the reality of the everyday challenges and trials that we face at keeping Christ in the driving seat. Amen? It's hard. Hi, every day there's a choice, there's a decision to make at times. Do we keep Jesus in the driving seat of our lives, or do we say, even though I see you and I understand you and I get you and I want you, just, and we don't say, do we budge over? No one says that to Jesus. That's just rude, okay? But we just unintentionally do it. We just unintentionally do it. Amen? Anyone being honest today? Okay, I'm about to say something that might sound a little bit on the nose, okay, a little bit direct, but trust me, as I was going through this preparation, Jesus is way more direct than what I'm going to, and he doesn't give any warning. I'm nice. I'm like giving you a warning, okay, right? What I'm going to say is a little bit of, truth, but it's this. We cannot follow Jesus and stay in control of our lives. Hey? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Some of us are like, some of us are like, yeah. Others are like, eesh. But yeah, following Jesus and staying in control, they're incompatible. They don't coexist. Okay? They can't coexist. And really, my role this morning is to get out of the way as much as possible and to point us to the scriptures, point us to the word of truth, to really help us understand what does it really mean, this Lordship of Christ. And that's why I was excited going through that worship and stuff. We're going to have to sing Make Room at the end, by the way, because that is exactly what the Lordship is. The Lordship is like, I just want to make room, make way. Jesus, take control. And so we're going to unpack that a little bit later. And we're also going to look to the dangers, okay? The dangers of what happens when Jesus is removed from the driving seat of our lives. And we're going to look at the importance and the benefits of keeping Christ as the Lord of our lives. Amen. We ready? You ready? Well done, Trace. Right. So one of the best ways maybe to explain the Lordship of Christ is maybe to look at the type of relationship that he calls his followers into. Okay, so if you've got a Bible, but don't worry, we've got it on screen. We're going to be sitting in Matthew 4 for a little bit, 18 to 20. And it reads as follows. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. And they're throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus, he calls out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets and at once followed him. And do you know what? Throughout, throughout the Gospels, you can see Jesus calling people to himself. Throughout the Gospels, you see this repeated again and again. Jesus is calling people to himself to what? Follow him. And this was a call to be a disciple, amen? This was a strong, here's a little picture. This was a strong Jewish culture where rabbis would pick the elite Jewish young men who were like up and coming. You know, it's like scouting for the best talent out there. Not football players, but, you know, people that understood the Torah. And they invited these disciples, these people, to come and be their disciple so that they would become like them. Yeah? So that they would become like them. So when a young man became a disciple of a rabbi, he was, in a sense, surrendering himself before that rabbi. Yeah? He was surrendering himself before the rabbi. So let me break that down a little bit more. A disciple didn't just come to learn from a rabbi. Okay? So that's something sometimes that we might do. We might go to YouTube to watch a sermon or watch a podcast, read a book. We're coming, what? To learn from, aren't we? We're not coming to become that person necessarily. But the disciples of rabbis, they were there to become just like that rabbi. So the disciples' thoughts over time would become just like the rabbi's thoughts. The disciples' ideas would become like the ideas of the rabbi. He was, in a sense, surrendering his whole self to becoming just like the one he was following. Amen? It was said that if you spent time with a disciple and you watched how they lived their life and you listened to how they talk and what they said, you would know who their rabbi is. Understand? You'd be like, oh, yeah, you're Joe's. You're Joe's disciple, yeah. Because you speak just like her, you dance like her, you get the flag comes out your pocket, you know, you're just like her, okay? Think about that scripture where Peter and John go before the council and it says, when they leave, what does it say? They said, we can see they were ordinary common men who what? Had been spending time with Jesus. It's not, oh, Peter and John, those guys are impressive. No. They've been spending time with Jesus. Why? They're becoming like him. You don't become a disciple to be your own person. You become a disciple to become your rabbi. Amen? So when Jesus called people to come and follow him, to be his disciples, he was inviting people to come and surrender their lives to become just like him. They were giving lordship of their lives to Jesus. Yeah? Amen? Is this making sense? And nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Here we are a couple of thousand years later. Nothing has changed. Jesus is still in the business of calling ordinary people to him. Any ordinary people in the house right now? Okay, one or two of us. Okay, good. Okay, I know some of you are special. Me. Yeah. He's in the business of calling ordinary, everyday people to come and follow him, to become just like him. Amen? A scripture that really powerfully helps us understand that is found in Galatians 2, verse 20. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the church in Galatia, and he's basically saying, this is how I understand my life now. This is how I understand my life now that I am a follower of Jesus. Let's read it. Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Following Jesus means surrendering our lives. I was thinking about some of our kind of just, I don't know if it's a learnt thing, but some of our body positions in worship. Have you noticed that we do this in worship? We just put up our hands. And think back to movies when they say surrender, it's like, it's the same position. Have you noticed how like sometimes you just can't help yourself and you start kneeling? Well, it's surrender. It's like something in our body just starts naturally kind of saying, I surrender, especially in worship, because it's like the presence of God comes and we're singing the truth and we're being reminded of who Jesus is. And as a follower, we just say, we surrender. Our body is just like naturally saying, we surrender. Paul uses the imagery of nailing his old life to the cross. He's not mucking around. He's all in. He has nailed his old life to the cross. His old life is gone. It's dead. He is, well, desiring anyway, I'm not getting back in the driving seat. Jesus, you've got the wheel and I'm not taking it back. Amen? But also check what he says here in this scripture. It's a bit like I'm paraphrasing, sorry. It's like he's saying, okay, yeah, I do live now. Like I crucify myself, but yeah, obviously I'm still alive. But it's so different. It's so different. I'm alive, but it's really Christ who is alive in me. Not I died to Christ and now I'm trying really hard. Okay? No. Christ lives in me. And just lean in a little bit because we need to be careful in this moment to think that this message is some self-improvement, motivational talk. No, 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 no. It's understanding we do this and can only do this because Christ is now in us, leading us, driving us, and we just follow. Amen? He's the one that empowers us. He's the one by the power of the Holy Spirit that makes any of this possible. See, lordship is not us just gripping harder on the wheel. It's us trusting the one who already is at work within us to just keep hold of that wheel. Amen? And so with that said, let's just take a moment right now just to reflect on this picture. Just in case you're struggling. Question is, where is Jesus in your life? Is he at the center? He's Lord, he leads, you follow. Is he maybe on the edge? He's included, but not really in control. Or maybe, is he out of the picture? Is he actually absent? And actually, life is happening without him. It's another analogy of the skit drama we did earlier on. But it's something just to reflect on this morning. You know, there were many scriptures really that I could have pulled from this morning in regards to this subject, but I want to just kind of transition right now to start thinking about some of maybe the dangers and also some of the benefits of what happens when we keep him where he should be. Amen? And we're going to do that by looking at this scripture, Luke 6. And this is from verse 46 to 49. The word says, and this is Jesus speaking. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord? No, stop. How you say something makes you really, how you read something in your tone is everything, isn't it? And I think I've always read that like that. And so let me read it, maybe more so how I actually feel like he says it. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Oh, it's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey, it's like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. Now, interestingly, I don't think I ever pieced it together until this week. This was said by Jesus at the end of a long day of preaching. This is actually the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those. Blessed are those. He starts talking about how you can live a blessed life. That's a cool sermon series. Okay? He's talking to everyone about how you can be blessed in him. And you might be wondering why on earth I'm kind of leaning this way to talk about lordship. Well, let me just try and explain myself. Look at verse 46 again. Jesus is it's kind of challenging people. Why are you calling me Lord? Why are you calling me Lord? Remember, we're talking about the Lordship of Christ. Why are you calling me Lord when you're not doing what I say? Friends, lordship isn't just a one-time decision. It starts with a decision, I think. It starts with surrender and giving Jesus lordship of our lives, but it's bigger than that. There were people there that day that were following him. They'd made a decision, but he's challenging them to, in that moment, why they are calling him Lord. And he's not challenging them on their faith. He's not challenging them on their surrender. No, actually, he's not challenging them on their faith, but he is kind of challenging them on their surrender and on their obedience, because they're not doing what he says. You see, disciples are doers, not just because they have been commanded, but because they've been transformed. Amen? Jesus goes on in this scripture in 37 and 38. He says, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the flood waters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. And I can tell you, I've made foundations, okay? I've built foundations. In fact, When preparing this message, I was remembering building the extension to my brother's house. I was hired by the person they'd hired, and the pressure was on. I knew Daniel and Louisa wanted this extension done. The guy they'd hired had gone home because it was raining. And I'm in this trench, it's up to here, and it's raining, and I'm going, and I'm also thinking, so I'm saving up for La Bola, I'm saving up for my wedding. I'm like, I've got to make money, bruh. Like, you know, and I'm pushing out the dirt, the rain's coming. Bro, that was hard. I'd just come from like preaching in prisons, and all of a sudden I'm in a hole, like digging dirt. Like, I was not ready for that. It was difficult. Amen. Yeah. I was trying so hard, but I tell you what, in some senses, I didn't want to be there. I would have much rather have been back in Cape Town. Coming to Jesus can be easy. Can be. Listening to Jesus, that can be easy. Following Jesus can be like being in that foundation. It can have, the rain is smacking you in the face, you're covered in mud, you're hurting, your body's hurting, everything in you is just like, can I just go my own way? Can I just take the wheel back, Jesus? Because this is rough. And you know, actually, if I take back the wheel in this moment, even though I know it's not going to be good for me, I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to what's comfortable, even though it ruins my life. But Jesus tells us, if you follow me there, if you allow me to be Lord in those moments, if you trust me in this moment and my word, if you allow my leadership, if you allow my lordship, and you do what I say, you're going to be a person whose foundations go deep into solid rock. And when those trials come, and when those temptations come, when life hits you in the face like it can do and does do, you're going to stand firm. Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount with what it is to be blessed, and he actually ends it with blessing again. Doesn't sound like it at first, but it is. A blessed life is a life of keeping Jesus in lordship of your life. But he does close out with a little bit of a warning, okay? And we have to be aware of the dangers as well. So look at verse 49. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey, hey, oh Lord, it's like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. You know, it's really sad when you go into certain countries. Leon, I'm sure, has seen it a lot in the townships in South Africa. You'd see these shacks being built. There was no foundation. It's just straight up. You'd go by in the morning, there was nothing. You come back, there's a house. Like, but the trouble is, when the rains came, the whole town would be wiped out. Think back to the skit at the beginning that we did. I'd done the right thing, hadn't I? I'd said, Jesus, I said the prayer, Jesus. I love the fact that Sammy went all out and put a beard on his Jesus, come into the driving seat of my life. When temptation came, did you see? I'm looking at Jesus. All the truth is there. All of what I need is right there. But I know how to drive. I'm used to driving. You know what? And do you know what? Did you notice in the skit as well that for a while it was okay? For a while it was okay. Temptation was there, worry was there. I had control of those big life decisions. The journey was nice, but then all of a sudden they started coming for me. And then I look and where's Jesus? verse 49. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey when the floods come, it's going to be a heap of ruins. This isn't a do better sermon. It's not a Nike commercial, just do it, okay? But this is a reminder of why we hold so dearly and passionately to the value of Christ's lordship in our lives. Let me just land with some reflective questions. Is there an area of your life where you know what Jesus says and choosing your own way? This question isn't necessarily like what happened this week. This can be something that's 40 years old. If Jesus is your Lord, where in your life is he asking for the keys back? Is there a relationship, maybe a habit, an attitude, decision, dream, or fear that you've quietly moved back into that driving seat? What would it look like to surrender to the lordship of Jesus right now? See, the good news is that Jesus doesn't ask for lordship of our lives just so he can take from us. Sometimes it might feel like that. He asks us to surrender so that he can lead us. And the one who is calling for the keys, the one who is calling for that driving seat, is the one who loves us and the one who gave up everything for us. I just feel my heart breaking right now for many of us, to be honest. It's really easy for the day to start and finish, and we lie in bed and think, what just happened? What just happened? And there's all these moments where we've kind of glimpsed over at Jesus, but we said, I'm just taking the wheel. I know what your word says, but I'm just going to hold on to the wheel. I know that you can give me perfect peace that surpasses all understanding, but I'm just going to hold the wheel. I know that you've got a perfect plan for my life, but I'm just going to make my own decision. I know that I'm comforted in you, but I'm just going to go to the things that I normally go to for comfort. And we've experienced too many moments of when the trials of life have come, when the winds have come, where we felt the crashing. And Jesus is just saying, oh, let me lead. Follow me. In fact, that's exactly what he says in the scripture where he says, All who are weary and heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Follow me. Follow me. Learn from me. I want to lead you into a life and a life of abundance, where when the trials come, when the temptation comes, you're going to stand. Can I invite the worship team just to, do we have time? Are the kids back? Okay, make room moment. And let's do that, church, now. Do whatever you want right now to make room for Jesus. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to put your arms out, stand up. If you want to pray with someone, grab someone and pray with them. If you want to be prayed for, come and be prayed for. But let's make room right now for Jesus.